Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have a great memory today? Anybody? You have a wonderful memory. Matter of fact, once it goes into your memory, it is there. It's like an elephant, okay? You just never forget it. How many of y'all, your memory kind of just comes and goes? It just... How many of you, your memory goes more than it comes? Okay, I thought so, right? When I was growing up as a kid, I used to be known as forgetful. Any of y'all ever known that way? Matter of fact, I used to hear things like this. How in the world could you possibly have forgotten that? How could you? It was less than an hour ago that I told you to do this, and you already told me you forgot it? Okay? I mean, how in the world could that be? Well, you know, remembering, having a memory and forgetfulness, when you look into Scripture, has a very special significance to it when you look at it in light of the Scripture. Matter of fact, if you'll look at Judges chapter 3 and verse 7 with me, as we watch the continuation of the children of Israel, we watch the cycle. You know, we talked about the cycle of Israel last week when they would rebel. And then after that rebellion, of course, God would send the judgment. They'd find themselves under the judgment of the nations that were around. And then they would cry out to the Lord. Then God would send a judge. And then the judge would live for an extended period of time or a certain amount of time. And then Israel would turn back. And then the judge would die. And they'd start through the cycle and start through the process all over again. And one of the things that we talked about last week is you would think after doing that once or twice, you'd kind of get the message, okay? But you know, we're all just a little hard-headed. And I think everybody in here would agree to that, and especially in our life as a Christian. It's not that we don't know, and it's not that we don't understand most of the time. But so often we get to the place in our life where we know it, but it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't occur. So in verse 7 of Judges chapter 3, you'll see the beginning now of the process of this particular cycle. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord, their God, and they served Baal and the groves. Now, there are two words there I want you to notice with me. It's the word forgot and it's the word served. Because here's what happened with Israel. That word forgot there is an interesting word, and I want you to think about it with me in this light. To say that Israel forgot the Lord, what does that really mean? It was to say that they no longer were controlled by what they knew. Or, though they knew who God was and what He wanted, those things were no longer real to them. So think about that and look at it this way. To say that Israel forgot the Lord was to say that they no longer were controlled by what they knew, or though they knew who God was and what He wanted, those things were no longer just real to them anymore. And I will tell you, there's a spiritual problem today. It's not unlike what we find here in Judges chapter number 3, the spiritual problem that we have today. And I will tell you that just for me to stand up here and tell you that the culture has changed would be a mild statement. The culture is changing, and here's the significance of it. It's changing every day. I never would have thought we'd see the day in this country where we would have to go stand in the state legislature to try to get a bill passed to protect the religious beliefs and the religious positions of pastors and churches in this country. But I can tell you, we did that just this past week on Tuesday. So our culture is changing. And I will tell you this. The church today is beginning to lose her influence in the world that we live in and in the culture that we live in, specifically in the United States of America. Now, here's what we're seeing. in some of the other countries around the world, we're beginning to see a revival break out in some of the other countries around the world, and we're seeing the result of the gospel going forth that many are coming to know Christ. Belarus, for instance. What is happening in Belarus right now is just unbelievable. People are hearing the gospel, and they're coming to know Christ by the hundreds in Belarus. We're seeing in the country of Georgia now is the gospel message is being promulgated throughout the country of Georgia. We're seeing a movement with inside of the younger ones of the country of Georgia as they're embracing the gospel, and we're starting to see a rise up and people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We're seeing that in several regions. But what we're seeing in America today is our culture is changing, is the church is losing its influence today in America, and the gospel message more and more becoming hardened to the gospel message. So here's Israel. They go into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. God places them there based on the covenant that was made with Abraham. God has given them this land. But while they're there, God gave them specific instructions when they get into the land of Canaan of exactly how they were to live when they got into the land of Canaan. Here's what they were to do. They were not to enter into any relationships with any of the people that were in the land at all. But they were to go into that land. And here's all God wanted. God raised up a people. God placed that people into that land. God wanted to be their king. God wanted to be their God. Listen, God loved them not because of what status they had, but God loved them. He set His name on them. And God wanted to continue that. But unfortunately, when we read in verse number 7, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And here's what they did. They forgot the Lord and they served Baal and the groves. What happened in their forgetting of the Lord? The other second word in that verse, in verse 7, I want you to pay attention to, is the word served. Because here's what happened. Their allegiance changed. Now their allegiance moved away from the God of gods and moved to Balaam and to the groves. And so as a result of that forgetting, not knowing who God was, but they no longer were controlled by what they knew. And now as a result of that, they began to serve the false gods that were there in the land. If we were to put it to today, in the day that we live in today, it would go something like this. What we know with our heads is not real to our hearts. What we know with our heads is not real to our hearts. I mean, we meet together week after week, Lord, and we sing and we hear the word and we've got it up here. But so often what happens is it doesn't make it from up here down to affect the rest of our life, because we get to the point in our life as a Christian that we become complacent. We become comfortable, and if we're not careful, we start to take on the appearance of the culture that we live in today. And apart from, I hear this a lot, well, the church today is irrelevant. The church today is not relevant in the way that we worship. The church today is not relevant in the way that we conduct ourselves. The church today is just not relevant. Always, already to the point that even the Word of God is not relevant today. Well, my dear friend, I hate to tell you this, but the Word of God is just as relevant today as it was the day that it was written. Okay? God has not changed. And here's, unfortunately, what happened with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel got into a cultural setting that was different than what they came out of, and they found themselves underneath now no leadership at all, because Joshua is now dead and gone, and they find themselves in this land. And they look at all of the culture. They look at all of the things that surround them, and they're intrigued by all of it. And pretty soon, as they look at all of that, they said, well, what harm is there in just becoming a part of the culture that we live in today? Christians, listen to me. Be careful. Be careful with the culture that we live in today. One of the things that the Word of God tells us that we have to be careful of And here's the difficulty. And I hear this all the time. We have long discussions about this. Where do you draw the line? How do you stay separate from the world but yet live in the world? How do you stay separate from the world but yet participate in going to work, participate in the community that you live in, to participate to where who you are gives you an opportunity to be able to share the gospel, but yet remain that separation that needs to be in place there? I think the Word of God tells us. You see, we may acknowledge intellectually that something is true, but in our hearts, it does not penetrate us or control us. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever said when somebody told you something you shouldn't be doing or you needed to do, and they told you over and over again, and this was your response, "I know, I know, I know." Anybody heard that? Let me tell you something. Some of y'all are holding out on me. I can tell. How many parents here, you've spoken to your child about something and the response you get back is, "I know, I know, I know." Well, if you know that you know that you know, then why don't you do what you know? Huh? Well, I got one amen sitting up here, okay? Let me tell you something. You know, that's just what we often do with God. I know. I know. I know. I know. Listen, God's not worried about how much you know. He's worried about what you do with what you know. See, that's the key. He's concerned about what you do with what you know. In other words, that obedient side of that. We know, okay? We know what we ought to. Listen to me. The children of Israel knew what they were supposed to have done, but they didn't do it. It's no different than today. We know what we ought to do. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Matter of fact, listen. We got all of it. We've got it from Genesis to Revelation. We know the end of the story. We know all of it. And we still struggle with that. Listen, the children of Israel, they didn't have a Bible with Genesis to Revelation in it. They didn't know all the story. They didn't have a... Listen, if anybody could have been kind of, "Well, you know, we'll let it slide this time because you really don't know all of it." Okay? But what about us? We've got it all. So what's the solution, Brother Robert? The solution is to reverse our forgetting. So how do you reverse your forgetting? So what do? Go get a pill that gives your memory back. Listen, how many of y'all are still looking for that miracle drug to get your memory back? You know, I see this advertised more on TV than I believe I've ever seen anything in my life. Guaranteed to put your memory back to where it used to be. Really? Huh? How many of y'all have fallen for that and gone and bought all them pills? Now let me ask you a question. How many of you got your memory back? Take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter with me. We've got to reverse the forgetting. So how do we do that? Well, there's a way to forget or to reverse. See, there's a way to forget and to reverse it. All right. There's a way to reverse the forgetting. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Okay? And I want you to notice with me verse 5 down through verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, down through verse number 9. And I want you to notice what Peter says. He said, "And beside this," or "now for this very reason also, giving all diligence," or applying diligence, "add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. Now here's the neat thing about verse 8. Verse 8 is the benefit of doing that. You know, but the real question comes is, how do you add those? I mean, how do you add those to your life? Well, I hate to tell you this, you're not going to add them to your life apart from the Holy Spirit of God. And being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine where is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit." In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, then you ought to walk in the Spirit. In other words, if you live in the Spirit, if you know, as a result of that knowing, then you ought to walk that way. And then as a result of walking that way comes the fruit of the Spirit. And there are nine of those, starting with love. There's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. So what Peter does is Peter now jumps off of that. And as we find these in verse 5 down through verse 7, these are nothing more than those things that come as a result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we come to verse number 8, and here comes the benefits of having these. Are you ready? Verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound," in other words, if they're a part of your life every day, "they make you that you will not be barren, you'll not be unfruitful, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You'll be fruitful. You'll be productive in your life as a Christian, as a child of God, in the world that we live in today. But when you come to verse number 9, it's interesting because now Peter is going to give us the negatives of not having that as part of your life. Look at verse number 9. "But he that lacks these things," in other words, they're not present. Notice what he says, "you're blind and cannot see afar off." You can't see down the way. "And have forgotten." You see, there's that word again. "And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." In other words, remember the day God saved you? When God saved us, and here's the great thing about it. Our sin was removed. Not just covered, it was removed. And here's what the Word of God says, "removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore." We are no longer a slave to sin as a child of God. We are no longer in bondage to that sin. Romans chapter 6 says we've been set free from that. And so as Paul in Romans chapter 6 went on to say, the one that you yield yourselves to obey. In other words, that you yield over to more often. In other words, we know what God says. I know. However, it is easier, it is more comfortable to go this way. The one that you yield yourselves to obey, that's the path you're going to follow. So here's what he said. For us to yield ourselves to God, to yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. I will tell you, more Christians today stumble with their walk as a child of God because they have that continual battle inside of them of yielding themselves and submitting themselves to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And then they wonder why they have such difficulty in their life as a Christian and as a child of God. They wonder how come they just, there's just nothing there. There's no fire there. There just doesn't seem to be anything there. Well, the reason is simple. The divine empowerment is no longer there. It is gone. Peter does not say here in verse 5 through verse 9, your problem is that you're not trying hard enough. That's not what he said. But if anyone does not have these qualities, if they don't exist, he has forgotten. Remember what we read in Judges chapter number 3? And the children of Israel forgot the Lord. It wasn't that they had forgotten who God even was. They knew who he was. It's the same thing that we do today in our life as a Christian, as a child of God. And then look at verse number 12, what Peter says. Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though," now watch, here it comes. "Though you know them," okay? "Though you know them, I'm going to remind you of them all the time and be established in the present truth." Matter of fact, my dad used to remind me of a lot of things all the time. I'll never forget. You know, one of my chores was to make sure that the trash got carried out. The worst thing you could do would be to go to bed without taking the trash out. Okay? Because the next morning you were going to be... am I going to have to go all through this again? He's going to do what? He's going to remind me of it. Okay? He did it. But it seems like in my life growing up, I must have forgotten more, okay, than I thought that I did. Because it seemed like every morning I was being reminded of something, okay? Of something that I had not done. So here's what Peter said. And oh, by the way, it wasn't that I did not know that the trash was supposed to go out. It's just that sometimes it didn't make it from here to here, okay? You know, so often in our life as a Christian, it's not that we don't know up here. It's just that it doesn't manifest itself out from our heart in our walk with the Lord. Peter's saying, if the forgiveness and salvation of Christ is real to you, you'll live it out in your character and in your life. Let's go back to Judges chapter number 3. And we'll finish with what happens to the children of Israel. Verse number 8. Children of Israel, they've forgot the Lord. They've served Balaam in the groves. We come to verse number 8. "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against them." In other words, it burned against them. Against Israel. "And he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia." Now, I want you all to say that 10 times real quick, okay? Cushan Rishathaim, okay, of Mesopotamia. "And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. Verse 9. "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord," and here it comes. Remember that rebellion? God sends the judgment and the oppression. And now verse number 9, "the children of Israel cry unto the Lord." And so guess what God does? "And God raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." Now, Othniel, if you look at the name Othniel, it actually means God is my protector, or God is my protection. Cushan of Mesopotamia, here's what his name means. It actually means double wickedness. So now you see the two of them. Othniel now comes on the scene as the judge. And he is raised up as the judge. And let me say this morning. In our life as a Christian, the renewal of that relationship with God, that revival to burn inside of our hearts, to regenerate that relationship that we once knew with the Lord, repentance is crucial. Listen, it is crucial for renewal and restoration. Repentance is. Do you know one of the most difficult things we have to do today is to repent and to say, "We're sorry. God, forgive me of my sin." As David cried out, "Against thee and thee only, God, have I sinned." In other words, David on multiple occasions cried out to God and asked God to reveal anything that might be inside of his heart and life that needed to be taken care of, and then lead me in the path that is the right way to go. I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, as a child of God, that ought to be on the prayer on of our lips every day. God, show me. God, examine me. Search my heart. And show me if there's anything in me that needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be changed. Having sent trouble, God also sends spiritual leadership under the name of Othniel. Othniel is raised up. And it's an interesting thing about Othniel. In the scripture, he's referred to as the son of Kenaz, who was Caleb's younger brother. And so that puts Caleb and Othniel related to each other. How many of y'all remember the story of Caleb? You know, Caleb with Joshua, when the children of Israel first went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that came back and said, we can go into that land that God has given to us. You know the rest of the story, when you go over to the book of Joshua and you look at the scripture in the book of Joshua, Joshua and Caleb went into the land of Canaan. And one of the things that that Caleb wanted more than anything else, there was a mountain that Caleb wanted. And finally, at a point in his life, at almost 84 years of age, Caleb goes to Joshua and says, guess what? I'm ready now. I want that mountain. And regardless of who may be there, if we've got to fight to take it, that's what we'll do. Could you imagine doing that at 84 years of age? Huh? 84. But the passion burned with inside of him. So we have Othniel now, who is part of the family of Caleb. Caleb, or Othniel, now comes on the scene as the judge of Israel. But I want you to notice verse 10 and 11 with me, because I want you to notice something else very interesting. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, upon Othniel. He didn't indwell Othniel the way the Holy Spirit indwells us today in the New Testament under the New Covenant. But the Holy Spirit came and empowered Othniel for the position that God had established for him. Verse number 10, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit of God was also involved. And let me say this, you're not going to do anything for the Lord apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth of the Word of God. You see, obedience and divine empowerment are necessary for godly service. It must be. See, all of this connects. So it goes all the way back to the fruit of the Spirit. It goes all the way back to what we saw in 2 Peter chapter number 1. To reverse the forgetting and to reverse the remembering or the non-remembrance requires that control of the Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day. Zechariah the prophet in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. The word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, and here's what he said. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says who? But by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see, obedience without divine empowerment is empty. Productive, to be effective, will only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, because listen to me, because it won't happen in the flesh. And I will tell you, more Christians today stumble, more Christians today falter, more Christians today get discouraged, more Christians today just want to get to the point that they turn and walk off. I'll tell you why. Because if you're trying to serve the Lord in the flesh, that's exactly what will happen to you. Where do you get your passion? Where do you get that fire that comes from serving the Lord? I'll tell you what, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Divine empowerment without obedience, as later judges in the book of Judges will all too clearly demonstrate, is absolutely fruitless. Look at verse number 12. Here's the interesting thing about it. Look at verse 11. And the land had rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. You would think that the children of Israel, under the direction of Othniel, after all they had been through with all of the ites that are in the land, okay, would have figured out and realized what was necessary. Othniel dies. What happens? Verse number 12. And the children of Israel did right again in the sight of the Lord. What does it say? Again. and again, and again, and again, and again. So how do we cut it off? How do we today in our life as a Christian cut it off? I will tell you how. It's to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control you each and every day. Your thoughts, your walk, your mouth, your hands, your feet, every part of you. So that the fruit of the Spirit is seen in our lives each and every day. I love the next judge that comes on the scene. Because there's something special about the next judge. The next judge's name is Ehud. And listen, I identify with Ehud, and I'll tell you why. Ehud's left-handed. Okay? Had to have been a good judge because he was left-handed. I'm left-handed. Okay? But anyway, Israel, just over and over and over again. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me ask you a question today. Are you tired of kind of starting over and over and over again? Well, let me put it to you this way. Do you have the same passion in your life today as a Christian that you had the day you got saved? Is that still there? Does it still burn within inside of you? That passion to serve the Lord, that passion to do right, that passion to be what God wants you to be, that passion to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am in the center of God's perfect will doing what God called me to do. Does that passion burn in your heart every day? If it doesn't, maybe it's because the Holy Spirit doesn't have the place within inside of you that He needs to have. And I will tell you something. When the church today becomes empowered by the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh of the leadership, the church will once again have a presence and an effect in the communities that they live in today. And that's where we need to get to. Would you bow your heads together with me as we pray? Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Father, we thank You for the example and the illustration that we have in the book of Judges. And Father, as we look at Israel and we look at all of the things, and Father, it's so easy for us to point to Israel and say, well, God, I wouldn't have been that way. But God, we do the same thing today. We're no different than Israel was. And so, Father, this morning, as we consider the words of the book of Judges and we consider the words of Peter, to reverse that forgetting, Father, to reverse that cycle, it takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, I pray this morning that each of us here, as David so oftentimes would ask, search me, O God, and know my heart. And Father, even in our times of stumble and in our times of struggle, Father, we don't have to stay there. But Father, repentance is what often comes so difficult and so hard. To get to the point that we're willing to admit that we're sorry. And so Father, I pray this morning that in this auditorium that there may be ones here today that are struggling with their Christian life because the fire is just not there anymore. The wanting to be around and to fellowship with other believers in what we call church today and whether or not the church is relevant or irrelevant, Father, is immaterial. The church will not die. Father, I pray that You would, just this morning, You would, Father, cause us to look and to remember before it once was. And to return back to our first love. And Father, I pray for that one that may be here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That walking through life in this world today, it's walking in darkness. It's walking blinded. It's walking short-sighted with no hope. But Father, because of Your great love and Your grace, You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, and You're Son Jesus Christ brought life and gives life that we can have it more abundantly. And I pray for that one today who needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, they would realize and understand that repentance is part of that process. To repent of our sin and to realize and to understand that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be and that He died to take our place and shed His precious blood that we could spend eternity with You. And Father, I pray that the blinders of those who are here that may not be saved, that the blinders would fall off. And Father, they would see and understand their need of a Savior today. And then, Father, based upon the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, relinquish control to the world and give control to You to where it belongs. So, Father, this invitation time we place into Your hands. Pray Your perfect will be done in every heart and life that's here today. And we'll be careful to thank You and praise You in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I'm going to ask